Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel Him made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Sister Joanna Green with Brother Clint Green, Sister Rachel Green, and we are coming to you live from our living room, and we are back on the air, and we're so thankful that we are. If you want to call in and be a part of this broadcast, we want you to do so by calling in at 516-590-0365. Again, that is 516-590-0365. And the subject today, we are on episode number 171, How to Calm Your Anxiety in a Time Like This. And that is Jovi. I forgot the name, Jovi Green. That's our poodle. She's 4 months old. She doesn't know anything about this. We've never done this with her in the house before. So if she goes to barking, we apologize. So Matthew chapter 5 is where we're coming out of. If you have your King James Bible, we want you to turn there and be a part of this. And right now we're going to have Rachel. Let's start out with prayer. Both of all of us pray. Facebook
Heavenly Father,
Live, help us pray.
Lord, we come to you, Father, tonight. I ask you, God, to move, Father, for all the people out there.
Lord, we praise you, God.
For those that are troubled tonight,
dear God, that you would give
us, Lord Jesus, the wisdom, Lord.
We don't claim to be nothing, Lord.
Help the people to hear what the Spirit has to say, Lord, to the church and to the world out there tonight, Father. Help us,
Lord,
to be able to communicate the gospel and tell the good news and talk of all your great love and mercy, God. And Lord, to get our hearts prepared for the coming of Christ. Help us, Lord, to get ready for that great day, Father, to get ourselves in order, our house in order, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, if there's
thank
any
you,
sin
Lord.
In our life, we ask you, oh Lord, to cleanse us from all
thank
sin and to purge us, Father, from all sin and all iniquity and evil ways.
God.
Heavenly Father, God, forgive us all, Father, for our trespasses against you and the many things we've
that's
done wrong in our life. Father, we're just asking you, God, to help us and we know that Christ died on that cross to forgive us of our sins. If we would ask Him to forgive us of our sins and turn our life over to Him. So if you're out there, we're asking you to turn your life to Christ. If you've never done that, give Him the life that He gave you. And so you can live that life for Him and live that life for others.
Thank you.
And Father, we ask all this in the name of Jesus. You would convict of sin and purge and purify our hearts, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, God. Amen. Before Rachel comes to you and gives her scripture, we want to tell you that we're not doing this to have no big name, or you can obviously see we're not fancy, and we're just coming to you with our hearts right now. And just as Brother Green just prayed to you, if we could give the life back to God, that who gave us life in the first place, give our life back to Him. He doesn't want our money. He doesn't want anything. He doesn't want fine, fancy houses from you. All He wants is you. God doesn't need anything of yours except you. That's all He wants. And that's all we have to offer Him as ourselves. And the Bible says that scripture, offer our bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's our job, is to offer ourselves to the Lord. How do we do this? What we do unto the least we have done unto Him. So He said, the poor we have with us always, but we must do something to try to reach folks that are hurting out there, that hasn't been to church. You know, they can't go to church right now. The doors are closed. But God is always open. The Bible says He stands there and He knocks. And He said, whoever opens the door, He will sup with them. And if they'll sup with Him, He'll sup with you. Now we'll have Rachel come and read her scripture.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Praise God. And we're seeing that time right now unfolding before our very eyes. Never have we ever seen a time like this before. We've heard about 1918 with the Great Depression. We've heard about the bubonic plague. We've heard about just things of World War II. And you know, people are still alive that has faced those things. But we have never, I can say the majority of us, maybe 99%, 99.5% of us has never seen a time like this. And, you know, I don't know everything. Brother Green doesn't claim. We don't claim to know it all. But we want to do our part. We want to help somebody is all we want to do. And we're going to have a song, Rachel, if you don't mind, go ahead and go to the piano. This song that she's getting ready to sing is gone across the airways. It's blessed many people. She did not write it. We don't own rights to it. But she can sing it, and Lord willing, if once she sings it in English, she's gonna have it also sing it in Spanish. And he's a way maker, as the song is sung. He sure is a way maker, and he is going to see every one of us through this. And you know, there's going to be some that's going to die. The Bible says that there's a sickness unto death. And you know, I'm going to occupy until he comes. The Bible says to not to be weary in well-doing and to keep on keeping on with what we got to do. And there's a time and a season for things, and this is a season where there's a lot of mourning. People are sad. People have anxiety. People have depression. People are oppressed. There's fear set upon our land. And we're here to try to shed a light on that, how you can overcome all those things that I just mentioned to you. And God is the key. And if we could keep him first in our life, even after this is all over and the world goes back to doing what they were doing, and hopefully they won't, but a lot of people were hoping that we'll see Jesus in this and run to him because he's our shelter in this time. And right now I want you to go to, if you will, I know another person's going to be calling in here soon, and we'll get them to speak, and we'll have Brother Green to speak. But right now I feel led to just have you go to Matthew chapter 5 is where we're coming out of, the Beatitudes. And I know that's basic, and if you've been a Christian for a while, you know the Beatitudes are chapter 5 Revelation or of Matthew. Love to study the book of Revelation, but we're in Matthew chapter 5, the very first scriptures. And it says, and seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. We're talking about Jesus. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He said to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I'm going to hold on right there. In the first passage that it talks about, blessed are the poor in spirit. Go with me to Isaiah 61 in your King James Bible. I didn't have that marked. Isaiah 61. Bear with me a moment. The word says in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And that is the second path in verse 4, Matthew 4 and 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So Jesus, he is the one that we need to turn to. He has the answers. He is said, I must go away expediently for your sake, that I'll send the comforter. He said, the works that I do, ye shall do also, even greater works shall ye do. Not that we're going to be doing greater works than Jesus. He went healing the sick and caused blinded eyes to see. He walked on the water. But there's a multitude all from the four corners of this earth that are God's children and that look to Jesus for the answers. And we are to do the works that he done. We are to help. We are to pour the oil in the wounds. We are to help pray for the sick. The Bible says if there's any sick among you, to call for the elders and they'll lay hands on you. We can't gather together in the natural, but we can come together Facebook Live, or we could come together Block Talk Radio. We can agree together. There's a whole lot of prayer requests that has come through on Facebook, and here in a little bit we'll pray and agree. And those that are listening that are born-again believers in Jesus, I tell our patients when I go in the room, I ask if I could pray for them. I'm not trying to boast, but I say I pray in the name of Jesus. I say, if it's okay with you, let's pray. And they, you know, most of the time they'll say, yeah, I don't think I've had anybody to ever turn it down. But I tell you, we must pray in the name of Jesus. Praise God. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons, the children of God. You know, we're to be peaceful with one another. And that was another thing that I wanted to bring out, that in this time right now, you know, we don't know about tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. We know he knows everything. He knows our past, our present, and our future. He knows, praise God, and he knows whether we're sincere with him when we say we're born again. He knows them that are his, and we know him. The Bible says that my sheep know my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. So we know him. If we've read the scriptures, and we hear that small, still small voice, you know, it's not in all this chaos going on in the world, but it's in that still small voice. And we, no more, we don't have any. I know my language, my English is not proper, and if Lisa's listening to me, she knows who she is. I apologize. But anyway, we no more have any excuses why we can't sit down and study the Word, or why we can't still away in our secret place and pray. You know, the Bible said that there was a wedding called, and this man, he sent for guests to come to people, and they had all kinds of excuses. One married and said he had to tend to his wife, and another one, he bought some land and he had to take care of his land. And you know, and so the man that threw the wedding party said, go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. And said, bring them in, the guests. There's going to be guests at this wedding. And so others had excuses, but there's going to be guests at the wedding. And I tell you, that's a whole new subject right there. And another time, if we do okay, and we'll get into the bride of Christ and the wedding, the marriage supper that's going to be taking place, and who all is going to be there. Praise God, and the guests, and the multitude that no man can number, and who is the bride of Christ, and oh my goodness. But you must be born again. Number one is you must be born again. If you say that you're a follower of Christ, you must live it. If you follow him, you must live like him. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. And Jesus went around, and he didn't even have a place to lay his head. The Bible says the one wanted to follow him, and he says foxes, they have holes, and he said, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And you know, he didn't come for fame or fortune, and a lot of times it looks like a lot of entertaining has been going on, and I don't think God was pleased with it. And I kind of think that this is kind of I don't believe that the coronavirus is from God. I believe that God's protection has been lifted, and but I believe that he will spare us that are calling and seeking him. And you know, Job, he had a family, and the Bible says that Job, all these things came upon Job, and the devil tempted Job. God let down the hedge around Job, and Job lost his children. His wife said, just go ahead and curse God and die. And but Job held on. No matter all the naysayers that were around him, made fun of him, What did he do to sin to cause all this to come upon him? They said those were his friends. And Job held on. And he got a double portion in the end. If we read the book of Job, we would find out. But Job went through a lot of sorrow, a lot of mourning, and no doubt. And then the sickness that came upon him, all the boils. But God spared Job's life. And, you know, he's going to spare our life. You know, the church, it isn't over till Christ comes back. And if they say, lo, he's in the desert, don't go. If they say, oh, he's up in the mountain, don't go. Because the Bible says, as the lightning strikes from the east to the west, so shall the Son of Man coming. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We will know. The sinners will know when Jesus Christ comes. And, you know, we're looking for him to come. Praise the Lord. And a lot of people say he could come at any time. If he does, then praise God. We're going to be up in glory. But if he tarries longer, you know, I'm sure in 1918 they thought, this is it. This is the end of the world. When the Holocaust came, I'm sure they thought, well, this is it. This is the end of the world. Surely Christ is coming back. The Jews have to see Christ first. Before they look for him in the sky to come back, they know that a Messiah is coming, but the Messiah has already came, and he's coming back again for his bride, for his church. Praise God. And the Jews, the Italians, the Germans, the Spaniards, they Americans, they all have to see Jesus and be born again and come in through the door. There's no other way to the Father except through Christ. If you try to go up any other way, you're the same as a thief and a robber. The Bible says that you can't go in no other way except through the door. So I've said plenty here, and I'm going to turn it over to Brother Green. There's a whole lot more I'd like to say, but let's do this, Joe. I do want to go to Luke 21 real fast. Luke 21, verse 26. Luke 21, verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. John 1. So little John 1, 1 John 4. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. A lot of people want to put all fear, but all is not right there. Perfect love casteth out fear. How many know we need to have fear? We need to fear God. We need to fear God that we're displeasing God, or are we sinning to make God ashamed of us? So we have to have fear. To fear God is the beginning of wisdom in, I believe, Proverbs. Because fear hath torment. So this is talking about the fear of the things that, like coronavirus, things that have come up in the past. So let's do this again. So I'm in Little John, 1 John 4 and 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We're not to fear. Don't fear over your loved ones. If anything, if your loved ones aren't saved, talk to them about Christ. This is a great time. People, I've noticed all over the place where we go, you know, we're quarantined, but we've had to go to the grocery store, and people right now are receptive to what you have to say about God. The grocery lady, we say, God bless you. She says, God bless you back. You know, we're living in a time where people, they have a lot of fear on them, and we're not to have fear. You know, the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord if you're saved. The rich man lifted his eyes up in hell, not because he was rich, he went to hell. He went to hell because he didn't feed the poor. With Lazarus, he was a beggar. He needed food. And he closed up, the rich man closed up his bowels of compassion on Lazarus, the beggar. And he found himself dead in that place called hell. So we need to love one another. And perfect love casteth out fear. If we could show one another and be merciful, we'll obtain mercy. Go back to Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, back to where it all begins, that salvation. When you get saved, if you don't know how to get saved, please inbox me, message me, private message me, however you want to say it, and I can help you. It's a prayer, and you live the life. You turn around. You do a 180, not a 360, because then you're going to do a complete circle and come back to the way you were. You had to do a 180 and turn away from sin. Do we sin once we get saved? If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That doesn't give us a free ticket to sin. We don't practice sin. That would be a sinner. We're not sinners once we become a saint. And I know that different views about who's a saint and who's not a saint and those things. If you're born again and you've taken on what Jesus did at the cross, he pardoned you of all your sins. You are a saint, and you're to walk like Christ. Praise God. Now here's Brother Green.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you. I want to go ahead and say a few things here about Matthew 20, or say she was in Luke. Well, let me start back here in the Beatitudes. Praise God. I was looking over here in the 14th verse, and it says here, Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I was thinking about how Jesus, in verse number 1 of chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, okay, the Bible said he was set there in the mountain, he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, and he began to teach them. And then over in the 14th verse, it says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. Well, I looked, I saw Jesus sitting on a hill, sitting in a mountain, and no doubt he had looked around and he saw all the multitude that was following after him. And he realized, you know, you can't put all these people in a building. You're going to have to get somewhere besides a building to be able to teach this great multitude of people. So when he was set up in the mountain there, he sat down, or he got ready. I don't know if he was sitting down or he just got ready. But anyhow, he said, year of the city that is set on a hill. Now, Jesus was the light of that city, and he was telling his people here in the Beatitudes, he was telling them how they had to live to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at today. Maybe we've heard the gospel. Maybe we've heard, you know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And maybe we accepted that, but are we living a Christian life? Are we really doing the things that he told us to do? Because he said that the rich man, or the wise man, excuse me, she was talking about the rich man, but the wise man, he built his house up on a rock, praise the Lord. And over in the 7th chapter of Matthew, in the 24th verse, the Bible said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Praise the Lord. So what it was is Jesus was telling them, you got to do more than say, I'm a Christian.
Yes.
You can have a Lord, testimony, but there's going to be more to it than that on the judgment day. It's a good thing to believe in the Lord. The Bible said the devils believe and tremble, but they're not saved. And many people out there today might be listening in, and you've heard the gospel all your life. Your mom was a good Christian woman, maybe. Your daddy, he believed in God and taught the Bible and went to church and did all these things. But you decided you would go your way and do your thing and live for self. But you see, we can't live for self, because if we live for self, then we're denying the one that died for us. We must give our life to him. He gave us life, and so he gave us a temporary life, and he gave us this life so we could one day find him as the Savior of the world. Believe on Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who came down and died on the cross for our sins, and we give our heart to him. And when we do give our heart to him, then we begin to examine ourselves, whether or not we are in the faith, whether or not we're doing what God wants us to do. And there's always going to be times when you're going to come up short, and you're going to have to go back to the altar,
yeah,
and you're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to say, God, change me, because I've got to this point in my life that I can't change myself, and I'm a failure, because every time I try to change, seems like I fall back into this same rut, this same ditch, this same problem, and I can't get out. And there's people hooked on different kind of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
They've got habits in their life that they tried and tried and tried to get rid of. And they do good for a little while, but then they fall back into the problem, and it overtakes them. And they get back into sin, and they give up. But I'm telling you tonight, don't give up. I'm telling you, get yourself back out of the ditch. Get yourself back up on your feet. Find you an altar and start calling on God, because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. If we'll turn our life to him, he will be there in the time of trouble. He said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. He told them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, I'll be with you, praise God. And so he's with us today. He's with the church. He's here amongst us as we're here gathered in his name, in here in our house, me and my daughter and my wife. He said, we're two or three gathered in my name. He said he'd be in the midst, so he really is truly in the midst. He hears what's going on. He knows. He hears his own word being preached and taught and read. It's a good thing to read the scripture and, to believe God, really increase your faith. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing in Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So you must get into the Word of God. The Word of God has got life in it. I know there's been times that I've felt bad in my body, and I've gotten, the Word, and I've begun to read the Word, and I begin to look at it, and, it seems like it wasn't very long, and I was feeling better. Or there's been times that I was sick, and something was trying to get a hold on me, and I'd go back and make me a little place to pray, you know, get me a chair, put a pillow on it or something, and kneel down and pray. And when you pray, don't just beg God. Don't just, you know, because God's already for you. He's already wanting to work in your behalf. And he said, whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. He has given us power. And if you give your life to God, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, and you accepted him as your personal Savior, you have more power than you even know you got. And I guess my English ain't the greatest either. But you've got more power than you ever dreamed that you had. I believe the devil, he's so afraid that people is going to find out what kind of power that the Christian really has. And if they can find out how to pray, if they use the weapons of their warfare, which the Bible said are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, weapons that God's given us, and the weapons of our warfare is in the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And Jesus, when he was tempted, he said, "It is written." The devil said, "We'll make this stone bread." And Jesus said, "No, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God." So there's life in the Word of God. There's so much life in the Word of God. Jesus spoke the word one place, the guy came to Jesus. His servant was sick, and I believe he was a centurion. And he said, "Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed." He said, "You don't have to come under my roof." He said, one place said he wasn't even worthy. He sent a message, said, "I'm not worthy that you'd come under my roof." He said, "Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And Jesus said, "I have not found so much faith, no, not in Israel." And here was a man that was a Gentile, and he was considered a dog, you know. He was just a Roman, as far as I know, he was a Roman soldier. And, you know, the Jewish people kind of hated the Romans because the Romans ruled over them. But this man had faith in Christ, and he got his miracle for his servant because of what he said. Jesus is looking for faith is what he's looking for. When you get these symptoms of this here coronavirus, you bind it, you rebuke it, you command it to leave, you command the germs to die, you command these viruses to die, and you claim your promises which are in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the scripture said in Acts chapter 10, I believe it's verse 38, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God was with him, and he healed all that was oppressed of the devil, and he called the sickness and diseases and things like that, he called it oppression of the devil. Yes. And Jesus, like Joanna said, I believe earlier, said John 10:10, the Bible said that Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But I am come," Jesus was speaking, he said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So he's the good shepherd. He's watching out for his sheep. And you can be one of those sheep if you'll call on Jesus. And you can get the benefits of the family. Praise God. It's kind of like an insurance package. You know, when you buy into a certain insurance company, well, you get all the benefits that company has to offer. And I'll tell you, this here, you don't have to buy into it. All you have to do is give your heart to God. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Repent of your sins. You know, the Bible said they went everywhere and they preached repentance. Jesus called his disciples and he sent them out two by two. And he told them to go out there and heal the sick and cast out devils and do all kind of things and even raise the dead. And we personally know a woman that her daughter was raised from the dead. And, of course, I know Brother Yearwood said a woman had died in his living room and they was having church and they prayed for her. And God brought her back to life and she lived 15 more years to the day. And I remember that testimony that he gave about that woman. And God's never lost his power. He's still on the throne and he's still doing good things. He's a good God. And but he will allow things to come if sin is running wild in your life, then you can't expect good things all the time. And if it's running that way in a nation, whatever kingdom it is, whether like she said, Germany or Russia or whatever country it is, if people's all they want to do is sin, well, they're going to have a problem because they're open up a door to the devil. But we need to close all them doors, and we need to get our heart right with God. I thought about Jonah. You know, Jonah went down to Nineveh. Has anybody called in yet? Praise God. I was looking for somebody to call in, but nobody's called in yet. But he went down to, God told Jonah, said, go down to Nineveh and preach to Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to go, of course. You know the story, some of you do, how he ran from God. He ran from the call of God. And I'd be sure today there's a bunch of people out there running from the call of God.
You're talking to somebody.
I'd be sure that there is a lot of people doing that. And excuse me just one second here. Got me a little bit of water. But there's people running from God. Jonah, he ran. He got his track shoes on, if he had any. And away he went. I'd say he didn't take too much with him. He probably grabbed a little bag of clothes and away he went. And he didn't plan on coming back. It didn't sound like to me. But anyhow, he ran, and he ran the wrong way. That's what people's doing today, a lot of them, not everybody. There's a whole lot of good people in the world. Mm-hmm. There's more good people in the world than most people know about, thank God. They're doing good things. And I think Joanna wants to read something here. And
I was just thinking about...
I'll take a little break here.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. How many know we're quarantined? We're supposed to stay 6 feet away from one another in a crowd setting, that is. So there's a time for these things. And the Bible says there's a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And that's what we talked to you. That's what we wanted to get the point across tonight was peace. There is so much peace in God. And if you've got the peace of the Lord with you, you will understand that we are just pilgrims in a strange land. And we're just passing through, as Brother Yearwood, we were talking earlier with them. It was either last night or earlier today. We're just passing through this old land. But it's a time to get ready, to sound the alarm that Jesus is coming back and time is short. The Bible says that they'd be a great fallen away. How many know, how many of you are right there Facebook Live that you don't go to the church house anymore? Even when the doors were open, there was a great fallen away. The Bible said there would be a great fallen away. But then also the son of perdition, the man of sin, that he would be revealed before the coming of Christ. And you know, he said that not to take the mark, not to take, now I'm getting in a whole nother subject here, but there is peace. There's peace in God. If you know him, no matter what comes upon this land, upon this world, in your very nation, in your very family, in your very home, this COVID-19 thing has really shook America. It's really shook the whole world. And the Bible says, let everything that can be shaken be shaken. And God said, but the things that are steadfast, let it be unmovable. And let that be your faith in God. You know, I paraphrased there. I didn't read it right from the scripture, but I know it's in there. The Bible says to think it not strange, this fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened, but rejoice, for you're a partaker in Christ's suffering. You know, Jesus was here, and he on his father's side, he was Emmanuel, meaning God with us. On his mother's side, he is Jesus, meaning he's all man. He was 100% man, and he's 100% God. Now, how can that be? I don't know, but when we get there, we can ask all the questions that we want, but until then, we must just believe. Just believe that God will take care of his children because he said so. As Brother Green said, he will go with us all the way, even until the end of the world. There'll be not one day after that. He'll go with us all the way until the end. Praise God. And I wanted to read this to you. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Praise God. Not one jot, not one tittle. That's not one, as my Aunt Betty says, not one crossing of the T, not one dot of an I will pass until the heaven and earth has passed, praise God, until the law, till all the law be fulfilled, praise God. And I wanted to go to Luke chapter 21, verse 26. Sorry, Matthew 6. Matthew 6 in... Oh, got one more page to turn, sorry. In 24, no man can serve two masters. He either will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. So it's time to make a decision and stick to it. And I see we have a caller here. Now, this is how this works. I've opened up the mic. And I'm going to ask 0145, come in, tell us who you are, and go ahead and obey God, brother.
You talking to 706?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. I didn't know. Had me confused right there for a second.
I gave the last four of her number.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. It's good to be able to come back on Blog Talk Radio weekends again. It's good that Kendra. We're on here, so we just pray and trust God that he keeps it opened up for you and can stay on, and people be touched and be blessed. So you understand real good there. So I want to come out of starting in Matthew 5 and I'm going to let Betty read for me there. We're going to start in verse 1 and go down through this a little bit.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Praise God. You know, right there he taught them. You know, returning that second verse, he said, and he opened his mouth and saying, taught them saying, you know, he was telling them about these blessings down through here. And, you know, I tell you what, I believe tonight the blessings are still flowing just like they were then. But people have got to get their hearts right with God, got to get their minds made up that they're going to serve him. And, you know, they can find peace, they can find comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that there's going to be peace. That's the only way going to be comfort is to get our minds and our hearts straight and get it squared away. Get everything that's in our lives out, you know, praise God. Get the sin out of their lives. That's the reason why that I believe that America and the whole world in the shape it's in right now is because of the sin that come up on the land. And, you know, oh, praise God, I remember reading over there in the Old Testament where Solomon Tamar was destroyed from this same dead-gone deal that's going on right now. People are falling in love with each other instead of falling in love with God. Still falling in love with man and a woman like God created. They're meeting two women together and two men together. And that is an abomination in the eyes of God. We can find that over in first chapter of Romans. He said, "If you believe a lie, be damned." That's what's going on today in this world. People have forgot God. They forgot about what Jesus had told them. They forgot about him calling them and telling them to repent. It wasn't his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. All of us come and confess him as our Savior. And until we do that, until we get everything under the blood, we're going to have these problems. But I believe today if people will turn their lives over to God and start seeking God and start crying out to him, I believe he can assure us. I believe he'll forgive us of our sins. I tell you what, I want to go over into Psalms 91 right there just for a minute. Praise God, Psalms 91, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Psalms 91 and verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. You know, praise God, people get their hearts lined up with God's word. That there's what he told us that he would do. And people need to realize that they're going to have to cry out to him and get their hearts ready. Jesus, it's his will that all of us come and get forgiven of our sins. It's his will that all of us find peace. And the only way we're going to get peace, that is in him, praise God. Until we call up on his name and realize that he is the Savior of this world. I realize that God sent his only begotten Son down here that we could have this life and have it more abundant. We're in trouble. I tell you today, people need to find peace in God. And the only way they're going to do that, and that is to cry out upon him and invite him into their lives. He's standing there with his arms all outstretched, just asking you, my friend, he's calling you by your name this day, calling you under repentance. He's calling you, telling you, if you'll just seek him, he can, you can find him, praise God. Right there in verse 11, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hallelujah. That's what he's done. He's given angels charge over us, over us. Praise God, to keep everything in the way of him. That's what we need to do, is just cry out upon him, and he was here. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah.
another passage of scripture. It says, draw nigh to him, and he'll draw nigh to you. Today, what are you drawing nigh to? Are you drawing nigh to God? Or are you drawing nigh to the things of this world? I tell you, this is a time that people need to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and find peace. Find peace for your soul. Rest for your soul tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. All you got to do is call upon him. Praise God, and ask him to come into your life, and he will do it, praise God. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, I'm going to let Betty read it for you, through 30.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You hear the word of God read right there. So I want to say I appreciate an opportunity to come on here tonight and obey God and praise something that's been said or done that I've said that would touch your life and turn you around. And I'd like to say, Brother James Miles' family, they're all needing prayer. There's a bunch of them have been, I'll let Betty tell you.
There's several in his family that have the coronavirus, his mother, Willa Dean, his grandson, Trent, his wife, pregnant wife, Amanda, and his daughter-in-law, Amber, and unborn baby. It's most likely come in contact with it, and also their little one-year-old daughter. So just remember all of them in prayer.
Great.
And remember Sister Gladys. They just got her aunt buried.
Yeah, and she died with the corona disease. So I'll turn it back to you, Sister Joanne. God bless you. We appreciate you.
We appreciate you guys too, Brother Yearwood. That was Brother Yearwood down in Tennessee and his wife, Sister Betty Yearwood, and her prayer request. I don't know if you all can hear on Facebook Live. Brother James Miles is a good friend of all of ours, and he comes on the Blog Talk Radio of Brother Yearwood's, and there's about seven of his family members diagnosed with the coronavirus. Also, one of the wives, I guess it's his daughter-in-law's expecting a baby. And, you know, and many of you all know people in your family maybe, or just know people just in the United States that have this virus. Again, we need to plead the blood. You know, as Moses or when they were in Egypt, and God said for to ply the blood over the doorpost. What is the doorpost? It's our heart. We ply the blood to us individually, our hearts, and then we go into our houses, and we have been in quarantine in our houses for God to just protect us, His band of angels around about us, and protect us all and protect. You all, and there's a lot of prayer requests on Facebook. I won't read them all for time's sake, but we're thus reaching out. The Bible says if any two touching anything on this earth, that it shall be done. So we're going to lay hands on this computer. We do pray over the prayer requests. We want you to know that. We have done this for many years. God impressed me to use Facebook that way to put out prayer requests. I hadn't done it in a long time. I got carried away in my job, and I asked God to forgive me for slacking all, for a long time now. And but thank God we're back in the fold. We're back in the work for God. And the Bible says that faith without works is dead. We must work in the kingdom of God. Once we get this thing just right, we will have a love for one another, for others to be saved. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you touch these prayer requests, God. Lord Jesus, Lord, you see each and every need, God. We ask, Lord, that you intervene, dear God, and you protect the family, Lord. You protect the unborn children, God, and the children that are just now being brought into the world, Lord, and the mothers and the parents, God, the grandparents. Lord Jesus, let everyone represented that's watching live on Facebook, Lord, that's listening on Blog Talk Radio, God. Lord, you see, Lord, our home, our family, our loved ones that are lost, that don't know you, God. We ask that you would have them, Lord God, send your spirit, God, to them, that they would cry, Abba, Father. Lord Jesus, that they would get it. You would get a hold of their heart and brain, dear God, and you control, Lord, the reins of their heart, Lord, the desires. Change the desire that they have, God, to be in the world. But Lord Jesus, help them to run and to seek after you, God. Help us to continue to press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling, Lord, which is what we're supposed to do, Lord. God, that we can win many souls for your glory, Lord, and not for our own, God, but for yours, Lord. And they would raise up to be warriors for you, Lord, and they could reach others, God, in this end time, Lord, and that this message, this gospel would go forth to all of the world, Lord. If they don't have the Holy Ghost, God, and Lord, help them to seek, Lord, for the good things, for the good gifts from above. And Lord Jesus, we ask your Lord for the power to be a witness, God, to the uttermost, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. We ask you, Lord, touch Mike Bledsoe, dear God, in this affliction that he had that come upon him, Lord. God, you know what it is, Lord. His brother James Miles and his family, Lord. God, you see every Tina Summers heart, God, what she put on Facebook, Lord. Jason Bay, Lord, God, you see the God. Lord, I can't think of them all, Lord, but you see everyone that took time to type a prayer, God. We'll look at them again, Lord, and we'll pray again, God, tonight over the spoken requests that have been typed, and Lord, the people that have private message, God, you see the need, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask, Lord, that this coronavirus thing, Lord, that this will be over expediently, Lord, God, we know, God, that you're doing a work in the people, in your people's lives, Lord, that seek your face, God, and help us, dear Lord, because you're the commander, God, and let you command us, the church, on what you want us to do, God. Lead us, Lord, lead every pastor, Lord, across the nation and their congregation, dear God. Lord, you see, God, the mourning, those that can't be there for burials of their loved ones, Lord. Jesus, help them, dear God. Help them to reach, help mothers reach their children, and help fathers reach their children. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help the grandparents, Lord, reach their children, and protect ours and theirs, God, in the name of Jesus. Until we meet again, we praise God, and we thank you all for joining us. We thank the Yearwoods for being with us on live Blog Talk Radio, and you can be with them on Tuesday. I can share out their page, and it's like this. They preach from their home on the Blog Talk, and then Brother James Miles, he's live while he's doing the Blog Talk, but we just hope that we said something. If you don't know the Lord and you want to know how, you have never done that before, or if you're backslid, I want you to private message me, to keep it private if you want to, or openly, however, because we can help you seek God. Somebody had to show me one time, and we're willing to show you. Praise God. We love you all. Good night, brother. We'll talk to you later on, brother and sister Yearwood. We love you guys.
Good night.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bless us. Bye now.